Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. I'm going to take a short break from our series in Deuteronomy 16, which we have just resurrected from the back burner to the front burner. But I've been compelled to bring a two-part message addressing a very important issue in America. A very divisive issue. It polarizes people. And with the recent Supreme Court ruling on Roe versus Wade, whereby now they have decided to give that issue in whatever restrictions or whatever allowances that are going to be made, our Supreme Court at the federal level has now tossed that monkey, if you will, into the lap of each individual state. So now it's going to be up to each individual state on how they want to craft whatever abortion law is going to be legalized in that particular state. Whether there's going to be no restrictions at all open season, or whether or not there's going to be some sensible, realistic restrictions and guidelines for the sake of the mother as well as for the sake of the child. Well, in Kansas, we have an amendment coming up for us to vote, either yes or no. If you vote yes on August the 2nd this year in the state of Kansas, then you are saying that you want some type of restrictions on abortion, especially late-term abortion procedure, where you are now dealing with a fully grown child that is about to be killed for no good reason. If you vote no to that amendment, then Kansas will become an abortion capital for the country. Matter of fact, during the lockdown, during COVID-19, there was a high percentage of increased abortions committed in our state because our governor allowed others outside of Kansas to come to our state to have their child murdered during the COVID restrictions. Churches were closed or limited in how many could gather for worship. Schools were closed. But tattoo shops, liquor stores, and the abortion factories were allowed to remain open. So much for curbing the COVID-19 cases, my dear friends. That was more politically driven than health driven for the citizens of our state. So I'm going to bring a two-part message about this issue. And it's going to be entitled, okay, American Assassins Legalize Hitmen, Parts 1 and 2. This message is going to offend some. And that's the point. Others may wave a flag. Right on, preacher. Well, if you're going to wave a flag and say right on, then I would hope and pray that you would vote yes to that amendment question on August the 2nd. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 31. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Notice, God is speaking at the beginning of verse 31. Have I been a wilderness unto you, my ancient covenant people? What was Israel's response? We are lords. We, the nation collectively, will come no more unto thee. These are not the Assyrians. These are not the Egyptians. These are not the Babylonians. These are not the Philistines. These are not the Zidonians. These are not the Edomites or the Moabites or the Hittites. These are God's people telling their covenant-keeping God, we will come no more unto thee. And then God responds, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents." Who do you think is being referred to when it says, "In thy skirts, ladies, is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents"? "I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent," just like today, those who can go and get an abortion can walk out and say their hands are clean because they got rid of something that they did not want to deal with it. But since it is legalized by man-made law, my hands are clean. It is legal to kill or murder the unborn. Therefore, my hands are unclean. Surely his anger shall turn from me. God's not going to get upset with me. It is legal here in the state of Kansas, or in the state of New York, or in the state of California, or in the state of Colorado, or in the state of Maryland. "Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned." And beloved, there are those today who call themselves Christians who are going to church right now at this hour, or probably in the next 2 hours across our fair city here, who are going to vote no to that amendment, who see nothing wrong in a woman killing her unborn child. Go to church, get behind and sing behind the pulpit in the choir, or stand behind the pulpit to give a 15-minute whatever, or teach in a Sunday school class for a half hour and call it good. And then they're going to look in the mirror and say, "I have not sinned. My hands are clean." "Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thy head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them." Well, beloved, I'm here to tell you, based on verses 37, the gist or the meaning of verse 37, those who assassinate the unborn. And we're going to look at what an assassin or an assassination is. And when you look at the interpretation or the definition, and then we look at other well-known assassinations in our nation's history or in ancient history, Julius Caesar was assassinated in the Roman Senate by a gang of 60 senators. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by a white Southern Democrat who was pro-slavery and didn't like the outcome of the Civil War, right? President Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, running for president, was assassinated and killed in some hotel kitchen as he laid flat on the floor in that kitchen, bleeding to death. What is an assassination? We're going to look at that, the actual meaning, and then we're going to apply it to what goes on in the abortion factories. Yes, this is going to be a very offensive message. The Kansas Supreme Court, I believe about 2 years ago, took the phrase that is found in our national constitution, as well as was eventually adopted into the state constitution when Kansas became a state in the late 1850s, the phrase "life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Somehow, some way, the Kansas Supreme Court looked at those words, "life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," and somehow came up with the interpretation that granted, those words, "the pursuit of happiness," granted a woman in the state of Kansas the right to murder or to assassinate her unborn child. Now, beloved, you got to look awfully close, whether it's the federal constitution in D.C., which you can look at in some museum, or whether it is the Kansas state constitution, you got to look with a fine magnifying glass to even arrive at such a heinous interpretation. Even if the baby survives an abortion attempt, and beloved, there have been many babies that have survived and have gone on to live. Matter of fact, on Facebook, some of these children who have survived and are now adults, who are now contributing to society, have shared their testimony that they survived an abortion attempt on their life and survived by the grace of God, and now they're a full-grown adult living in such a way to bring a contribution to society and not a drain on natural resources. Or as the case in California and the state of New York, with Maryland and probably Colorado considering, that a woman now has the right to murder her child within a 28-day window after birth. Beloved, where do you go? Where do you bring your 28-year-old child, I mean 28-day-old child, where do you go? Do you go to the local hospital, walk into the check-in station and say, here's my child, he's been born 25 days ago, I can't handle him, can we please assassinate him? Can we kill him? How do you do that? You have to numb and deaden your conscience. You have to erase any concept of a righteous being who's going to bring you into accountability for committing an act of murder. And Paul tells us, at least in 1 Corinthians 6 and in Galatians chapter 5, those two particular chapters, that those who commit murder shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And along with committing murder, he includes fornicators, adulterers, those who hate their parents, those who live in envy and jealousy, bitterness, and in witchcraft, all those little dainties that come out of a fallen nature, such people who practice and live in that cesspool shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Just recently, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled, just about a week or so ago, to give now each state of the Union the responsibility to make whatever allowances or restrictions on the abortion issue in that particular state. Well, beloved, again, Kansas has an amendment. This coming August the 2nd, 2022, across the state of Kansas, Kansas voters will have the opportunity to vote either yes or no. If you vote yes, then you're saying, I want some type of parameters or barriers or restrictions. This is not an amendment that's going to ban abortion outright. No, that's not going to happen. That's not the intent of this amendment. And now the other side is doing everything they can through deception, saying that if you vote yes, then all of your constitutional rights are going to be forfeited. Beloved, that is a lie, and that is a deception on the part of the liberals and the progressives and the Democrats, because they're afraid that you might wake up and realize that murdering an unborn child for no good reason other than simply birth control, that's wrong. If you vote no to that amendment and you call yourself a Christian, then you become an accomplice to the murder of every child that's going to be done in this state. Their blood is on your hands. I'm here to warn you. Their blood, not only on the hands of the mother or the father or the family or the boyfriend that pressured this girl to assassinate that child, and the doctors and the nurses and those in the abortion clinic, all that blood is on their hands. And God will bring them into judgment. That takes us to our own proposed amendment, again, to our state constitution, which, if passed, would allow certain sound and reasonable restrictions on abortion and would grant the legislatures and not the state Supreme Court to enact such a law. And in the state of Kansas, that amendment is called Value Them Both. Value Them Both. Now, despite the arguments from both sides of the debate, when any nation makes it legal to kill its unborn, that nation and those people have lost their souls. They, like the Israel of old, have made a covenant with death. They've made a covenant with death. For those of you that may not know, one of Israel's most heinous crimes against the covenant-keeping God was the premeditated sacrifice of their children to a pagan god called Molech. Molech. Where these children were literally tossed upon a metallic, hollowed-out arms of a statue whose inner hollowed belly, this cavity, was ablaze with a roaring fire, literally cooking and sizzling their children in sacrifice to a god that was never real. God referred to this crime as shedding the blood of the young innocents. Look at my passage of Jeremiah chapter 2, once again, verse 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Now this idea of killing children, or infanticide, I believe is another term for it, the legal term, infanticide, it is not limited to Israel, and neither is it limited to the United States. All you got to do is go back to ancient times, in the times when Jesus walked this earth, and in the days of the early church, the Romans had a certain procedure. And that procedure was as follows. In a Roman house, okay, let's say for instance, a well-to-do Roman home, the father was the patriarch. He was the judge, jury, and the executioner of his home. If his wife was pregnant, and she delivered a child, boy or girl, the custom was for the servants in the home would take that newborn child and lay it at the feet of that Roman father. And if the Roman father walked away and left the child on the floor, that was a signal to the servants to take that child, take it out into the woods or the forest, or take it out away from the city, and leave it there to die. That was his sign that he is not accepting that child into his family. On the other hand, if he stooped down and picked up that child and embraced the child, that was a sign to everyone at that moment that he is going to receive and accept this child into his family. Well, beloved, guess what? Guess what your Christian brothers and sisters were doing way back yonder in that first century when the Roman father would conduct such a little ceremony of walking away from the child. The servants would come and lift that little baby, take it out there in the boonies, and maybe some wolf, fox, whatever, some little carnivorous creature that likes fresh meat, would just simply eat the child, or it would die to exposure. It was your Christian brothers who would go out there and find and seek and find those children, bring that baby home, and raise it in a Christian home. How many Christians today even know about that? When it comes to liquidating children that we don't want because they're a drain on the society, or they are a drain on natural resources, what did the Nazis do from the early 1930s all the way through the end of World War II, 1945, when the concentration camps were finally liberated by the Soviets coming from the East and the Americans and the British and the French coming from the West? What did the Nazis do prior to 1939? If your child had a mental deformity or a physical deformity, or was not simply up to snuff, or had a cleft palate, or had some type of physical disease, or was classified as mentally slow, they would take that child to a quote-unquote sanitarium And in a few weeks, the parents of that child would receive a letter saying, your child died of the fever or of pneumonia. And it was an outright lie. The child was normally gassed or left to die without no food, no water, no comfort, no hugs, nothing, simply to die. Because Hitler wanted to build a super race. He wanted to build a new Germany with a new race of Germans who were physically and mentally defective free. And guess what? When German officials were confronted on what was going on in the death camps, they looked at the American liberators and said, we learned it all from you. Back in the 19-teens and the 1920s, the American eugenics program, where you got rid of black Americans by either forcibly sterilizing them or injecting black men on an island off the coast of Georgia with syphilis. We learned this procedure from you. So, beloved, if you look at American history and you roll back the curtain, my dear friends, America has a whole lot of blood on its hands, my dear friend, to give an account, even before abortion was made legal in 1973. The God of Scripture never commanded Israel to offer up their children in such an act of worship. Never. Never. It was a heinous act. And the ones who were committing it, guess what? When you read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles, it were the kings. Kings. Those at the top. Those who could dictate whatever whim came to the king's mind. Their leaders were throwing their own children into the fire. And therefore, the citizenry followed suit. And what do we find today? We have an army of leaders in Washington, D.C. and at state level who are pushing and advocating the assassination of our own unborn children. And all you've got to do, beloved, is go back to the 1960s and 70s and probably into the 80s in communist China, where they made a ruling, one child only. And people in your neighborhood would spy on you if by chance you had a second child, and this did occur in China during that period of one child only policy, and your neighbor could turn you in to the officials. Well, since every Chinese family needed to have a boy to carry on the name and the inheritance of that little family, that meant that hundreds, if not tens of thousands of Chinese girls were tossed into the Yellow River or abandoned to the elements to die. So what is the consequence of China's one-child family policy? Guess what? Today, you have so many Chinese young men, eligible men, who are looking for a sweetheart to marry, and the number of Chinese girls available for marriage is slim pickings. They did it to themselves. So this idea of killing babies is not only something from ancient history, it's also modern history as well. I've been told that less than 1% of all abortions are done due to rape, incest. Less than 1%. And therefore, the overwhelming percentage of most abortions is an elective procedure. Simply to get rid of a child because some girl and some guy in the back seat of a car or on the couch in front of a TV or in mom and dad's bedroom, and my language, you're not going to get one iota apology. I'm going to use whatever graphic language I choose, and if you don't like it, get mad. Some boy and some girl that acts like alley cats in the heat of the moment of 18 minutes of unrestrained animalistic behavior, conceive a child. On the girl side, mommy and daddy, you're not bringing that kid into this family. You're not going to saddle us with 18 years of child care while you're out there earning a living. Then the boyfriend, he don't want to be saddled with the responsibility of raising a child and paying for it for the next 18 years. So what did they do? They go to the abortion clinic and they take care of the problem for anywhere from $200, $300, $400, $500 in cash, no checks, no money order, thus no paper trail. My next words will be both shocking and offensive and intentional. What is an assassination? Who or what is an assassin? Listen carefully to the following definition that I got off of the web. This is from the dictionary. Assassin. Let's look at the original meaning and where the assassin came from. A member of the Mitzri branch of Islamic Muslim at the time of the Crusades. When the newly established sect ruled part of northern Persia from 1094 to 1256, they were renowned as military fanatics and were popularly reputed as using hashish before going on their murderous missions. The original assassins can be traced all the way back to Persia between the period of 1094 to 1256, where these Ismaili Muslims choose to simply rub somebody out. And what they would do with these assassins, get them all hyped up on a little bit of hashish, whereby they are no longer in charge of their own senses. Okay, they're out there, they can be easily programmed, easily wound up to do a mission, and off they would go to kill someone. On the other hand, a mercenary is a person whose incentive is to act for a personal gain. Now stop and think. Think abortion clinic, the doctor who's killing the child, the nurses or the attendants that are assisting in the murder, the lady at the front desk who does everything under her power to pressure the girl to get the abortion. Think of the father and the mother on the side of the girl that are pressuring her to get rid of the kid. Think of the boyfriend that are pressuring her to get rid of the kid because he don't want to be saddled for 18 years of responsibility. And think of the $500 to do a hit job in the womb. Yes, some of you right now may be cringing on my language. Well, you can cringe and you can dance all you want in the pew or in the seat, wherever you're sitting here in this. I want you to dance a jig. Most would view this in terms of a warrior or a soldier or an assassin. Pop culture typically separates the ones whose desire gain is religious or political. The dictionary says we do not make that distinction. An assassin is one who kills a person or kills people who have some importance in a surprise attack for political or religious reasons. Stop and think. It's a hit job. Julius Caesar didn't know what was coming when he went to the Roman Senate on the 15th of March, 44 BC, the Ides of March. JFK knew that he was a target. But he had no conception that he was going to get shit or blown away that day there in Dallas in November of 63. Martin Luther King knew that he was a wanted man, not only by the FBI and the CIA, but by any white radical group at that time during the Civil Rights Movement. He's out there on a balcony enjoying the evening air when he's plugged and shot. Bobby Kennedy probably knew that he was a target. But when he went in the back way to that kitchen in that restaurant there in California, I don't think he had on the top of his mind, I'm going to die right now. An assassination or an assassin is someone who does his hit in secret on his time, not the victim's time. What about the baby in the womb? That baby that's developing in the womb of that mother, does that baby contemplate, I'm going to die here soon? There's going to be a tube placed in my mother, in my mother's vagina and suck me out. Or there's going to be a sharp instrument put into her vagina and slice and dice me. And then I'm going to be extracted from my mother's womb and reassembled on some table to make sure all the body parts are there. Am I making you uncomfortable? That's the intent. What about the saline solution where they put a needle into the womb with a high concentrate of sodium and literally pickle and burn the child? And then it's born, stillborn, all intact, with a good suntan. And what about the most gruesome one, late-term abortion, where the baby is dangling out of the mother's vagina with the neck and the head in the birth canal, from the shoulders down, dangling out in the air, and the doctor takes the scissors, administers no painkiller, snips the spinal cord, and the baby shrieks in pain, and then a tube is inserted, sucks out the brain, forcing the head to collapse, and presto chango, the rest of the baby that has now been murdered comes out. Question: did the baby anticipate any one of those procedures was going to happen in the next 10 minutes? When his mother, family, or boyfriend was escorting her to the abortion clinic to have her baby killed? That's an assassination. Because money is involved. Love it, when Kennedy was assassinated, those men that killed him didn't do it for free. They were paid. They were either paid with money, or they were paid with political power. Those who killed Julius Caesar, they didn't do it for any type of Roman money. They did it for power, political power. And guess what? Within a few short years, they were all dead, dying in battle or killing themselves in suicide. Murder is the killing of one human being by another. It is usually done for personal reasons such as love, anger, or greed. An assassination is the murder of an important person, and every unborn child, in my mind, is important because God is the giver of that life, which is conducted for political or religious reasons. The term murder and assassination are often used interchangeably, as they both have something to do with the death of someone. However, what a lot of people don't realize is that the murder and assassination have two different implications. Murder is the killing of one human being by another. It is usually done for personal reasons, such as love, anger, or greed. The motive for murder is usually that the murderer stands to benefit in some way, such as the murder of a rival, which will ensure their own win, or the murder of a family member or a benefactor, which may result in inheritance of money. In fact, love, greed, or revenge is usually the most common motive for murder. However, assassination is almost the same as murder, as it is results in the killing of another human being. However, it differs from murder in motive. While murder is done for personal reasons, such as revenge or greed, an assassination is conducted for political or religious reasons. Alternately, it may also be conducted for money. Beloved, when you take a girl to the abortion clinic, it is not free. You have to pay. And you have to pay in cash, not by traveler's check, not by personal check, not by a money order, because there's no paper trail. Cash. And these abortion clinics through Planned Parenthood receive your tax money not only to subsidize the murder and the assassination of children in America, but the murder and the assassination of children around the world. Through the UN. Alternately, it may be conducted for money, wherein somebody pays another to kill a person. Stop! Money is exchanged from one person to another person to kill another person. Is that not what goes on in an abortion? Come on now, you're all sensible people. You can think. You got a mind. It may be conducted for money, wherein somebody pays another to kill a person, or for a desire for fame or notoriety. I've seen women on Facebook in their parades bragging and boasting of 6 up to 10 abortions, and they're proud of it. So that abortion then was not conducted for her health. That was an abortion that was done out of expediency, because she can't control her sex drive. She's no different than an alley cat, and therefore she uses no protection, no preventative measures, which are out there in the scores of all types of procedures or things you can buy and use. She wants to have her fun, but she doesn't want the product or the conception of a person that comes out of having that 18 minutes of fun and pleasure. So when a woman is parading herself, in my eyes, down Main Street or on Facebook, gloating and glaring and shouting that I've had 10 abortions and I'll have as many as I desire, then that's premeditated murder. And each one of those abortions, she had to pay money to someone to liquidate the child that was in her. And therefore, this pastor calls such a procedure an assassination, a hitman for hire, wherein somebody pays another to kill a person, all for a desire for fame and notoriety. They're out there parading. I've had 10 abortions. Whoop-de-doo. I'm going to have 10 more. Basically, any murder in which the murderer does not directly benefit from the murder can be classified as an assassination. Beloved, the baby doesn't benefit at all. His or her life is taken away. And therefore, I call it an assassination. However, it should be noted that in order to be called an assassination, the victim is typically a famous or important person. Is not every child that's conceived in the womb famous and important? It's not a glob of jello. It's not a cluster of cells. It's a person. The impact for such a person's death would be more widespread than the murder of just a regular person. Due to this, an assassination is commonly employed as a tactic in politics, where the political leaders of the opposing party or other important figures may be targeted for assassination. It may also be conducted due to military reasons, where the assassination of the opposing army's general or leadership can result in the win for the assassinating side. Listen to this. This came off the... This is the latest facts from the government. In 2005, 1.21 million abortions were performed in the United States. From 1973 to 2005, more than 45 million abortions occurred in the United States. Abortion ratio, the proportion of pregnancies ended in abortion, was 22.4. In other words, 22% of all pregnancies in the United States, excluding miscarriages, ended in abortion. The abortion rate, the number of abortions per given subgroup, was 19.4 per 1,000 U.S. women ages 15 to 44. Each year, about 2% of U.S. women ages 15 to 44 have an abortion. 47% of them have had at least one previous abortion. 50% of U.S. women obtaining abortions are younger than 25. Women aged 20 to 24 obtain 33% of all abortions. Teens obtain 17.4%. Black women are 4.8 times as likely as non-Hispanic white women to have an abortion. Hispanic women are 2.7 times as likely. 37.1% of all abortions are performed on black women, who make up only 14% of the total population of U.S. women of childbearing age. Now, for those of you who don't know, the patron saint of Planned Parenthood is a vicious, evil, malevolent woman named Margaret Sanger. When she peddled Planned Parenthood prior to World War II, on or around the time of World War I, I believe, in that time period, her primary target was African American women carrying African American conceived children. She wanted to eradicate the proliferation of black people. And all you got to do is Google and read her speeches and read what she wrote. She was a rabid racist, an evolutionist, and a Darwinian disciple of natural selection, my dear friends. How many Christians know that, who might be voting no on this amendment here in Kansas? They're going to vote with no knowledge at all. The Pied Piper plays and they vote accordingly. Finally, 54% of U.S. women who have had an abortion between 2000 and 2001 had used a contraceptive method during the month they became pregnant. Listen to this. This is between the years 2018 and 2019, right off the government press. Between 2018 and 2019, Delaware saw a 21.3% increase in abortions from 1,684 to 2,042 abortions. Georgia, no longer considered a conservative state by no measure by the results of the last election, they've seen a 7.4% increase in baby assassinations from 28,544 to 30,656. What about Idaho? Idaho's supposed to be Mormon country. They make babies left and right because they all believe someday they're going to be a god running their own planet. You would think they would have the least amount of abortions because they need those babies, beloved, to get to heaven, to get to that celestial realm to make up their own world. Well, guess what? 20.4% increase in abortions in Mormon country. From 1,257 to 1,513. What about Iowa? Man, you would think Iowa right there in the old breadbasket, the corn belt, the Bible belt, right? Really? 25.2% increase in the assassination of children. From 2,849 to 3,566. Let's praise God for Missouri. They've seen a 49.5% decline between 2018 and 2019. Listen to this, from 2,910 assassinations to 1,417 assassinations. Tennessee, praise God, 10.7% decline, from 10,880 down to 9,719. West Virginia, praise God for West Virginia, coal country, 21.5% decline, from 1,507 down to 1,183. And between 2018 and 2019, nationwide, out of 39 states that are in front of me, there was a 2.3% increase in the assassination of children. So what is an assassin? Who or what is an assassination? He or she is a killer for hire. You have to have a victim. You have to have a killer. You have to have some type of payment. Okay? Therefore, in most elective abortions, the payment, the fee for hire, $200 to $600 in cash, no checks, no money order, no paper trail. The assassins are the mother who's aborting her child, the doctor who assassinates the child, and those in attendance there in the clinic to give assistance, and the boyfriend who apparently is pressuring her. They are all culpable, and they are all guilty in God's eyes on the assassination of an American citizen in the womb. The innocent and the defenseless victim is the child. I don't care what color they are. Who, without warning, now you correct me if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. Who, without any warning, is suddenly butchered, chopped, hacked, vacuumed away by a machine or sliced and diced and then rearranged like a puzzle in a box. Some are pickled to death, literally burned in a concentrated solution of salt water, saline solution. And then you have the more barbaric procedure of allowing that child to go all the way out of the birth canal except for the head, the neck, all the way down to the toes, are outside the womb. They're outside the birth canal. You must have no heart and no soul. Your soul and your heart is darker than coal that comes out of the ground. Darker than that. To take a scissors, plunge a hole in the neck of that child and watch that child reek of pain. Snip its spinal column, its cord. Take an instrument into the brain, throw the switch, suck out the brain of that baby so that the head collapses and the child can be easily delivered, dead on arrival. American assassins, killers for hire. In the next hour, we're going to look at certain situations where a child was ordered to be aborted or could have been aborted, but was not. May God have mercy on this country. And the next time you hear our demented president, the alcoholic Pelosi, your governor, or anyone running for political office, and they say, may God bless America, if you have the boldness and the courage, stand up and say, God cannot bless while we assassinate the unborn. Versus, may God bless America. May God have mercy on America. Amen.